Good morning. My name is Cameron Park, and we're so glad you have joined us here today. If this is your first time, we're in the second week of a series called Summer in the Psalms. Last week, Brian looked at Psalm 100 and kind of unpacked this idea about the Psalms as they give language to something that we can't always put language to. Like sometimes we can't put words to, but the Psalms do a great job of doing that. And the beautiful thing about these Psalms is they have many different writers. One of the main writers of the majority of the book of Psalms is King David. Before King David was a king, he was a lowly shepherd. I don't know about you, but that's not one of my common friend. If I have friends, they're not a shepherd. I don't really know many shepherds. I have a tire guy, I have a mechanic, I'm a teacher, I know teachers. I don't have, in my context, a shepherd. And for the longest time, I was wondering, what's a shepherd? For the longest time, I would think it's a farmer. It's just a farmer. But I did some research on the Google. All right, if you don't know what the Google is, I called it the Google. If you don't know what Google is, it's the best thing ever. It can settle all arguments that you've ever had. If you know you're wrong, probably don't Google it. But if you know you're right, Google it. But I spent a little bit of time on Google researching what a shepherd does. What a shepherd does is a little bit different than what a farmer does. A farmer tends to fields, his crops, and many different types of animals. They don't go anywhere. They're really stationary in one basic location. Shepherds, on the other hand, they go with the sheep everywhere they go. They lead them. They go behind them. There's a lot of groups of shepherds nowadays, and even back then in David's time, they traveled together as shepherds with the mass majority of their sheep. And they would do that and protect them from any danger. Because here's the thing about sheep. They're dumb. I don't know if you've ever been around a sheep, but they're not smart. They're so dumb. This is what in all of my research, I thought it was hilarious that if a sheep falls on his back, it can't get up by itself. I just picture a sheep falling on its back. It can't get up without help. It needs help. Another way sheep are not very smart is they follow what's in front of them. Oftentimes, these shepherds, they would have massive amounts of flocks. They would follow the flocks, but sometimes there's a dumb one that would follow this way while the flock's going the other way. And then it could create a pattern of, hey, I'm following this guy. This is the blind leading the blind. So sheep are not very smart. That's why a shepherd has to take care of them in the midst of all the chaos and the seasons of life and the predators that may come after them. I kept doing research on the Google, and I found out there are modern-day shepherds. I was kind of blown away by this. This whole story just blew me away. They're still shepherds in the country of Georgia in Europe. And we have a couple pictures to kind of tell the story. The first picture here, notice there's a lot of sheep. Really beautiful picture. I would probably want to go visit there if it's not dangerous to get there. Ton of sheep. Total in this particular herd, 1,200 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. And they have multiple shepherds. This is kind of one part here. They have others kind of coming from the back behind them. They're going on this journey, this trip, because winter's coming. If you don't know, that's kind of a reference to, never mind. Winter's coming. So they've got to move from their current location to a lower location. So here's what they are. This is where they are in their summer month or spring months. Notice how pretty it is, right? There's a lot of green, plenty of places where the sheep can feed. But they have to move because just like in our mountains, these mountains become covered with snow. You can see that in the back. Soon this snow will cover the ground and these sheep won't have enough to eat. So they take this journey. I thought this picture blew me away because they are very much in line with the following of the flock. And if they make one misstep, bye-bye sheep. Okay, it's going to take everything within me not to say bye a couple times in this message. So if I do it, I'm sorry, but I think it'll be funny. So it would be really bad if they fell off, got out of line. That's their journey. It's a rocky, terrible, dangerous journey. All right, and not only that, we'll look at the next one. This is what they're trying to get away from. Winter is coming. Winter is already here. They're experiencing this on their journey. This is what they got a good rate from. Notice, there's nothing for them to feed on. There's no water for them to drink. They've got to get away from this for their livelihood. Shepherds make money off of sheep. They make money from their wool. They make money from their meat and their milk. Okay, most likely with David, he got money from his wool and the milk. Not a lot of meat there, but that's what the journey looks like in the winter. That's what they got to get away from. Then, at the end of their journey, these 1,200 sheep under the care of all these shepherds, they get here. Now, that's a lot better than the winter. Notice how flat it is. They're in a better place. These waters aren't moving. They're restful. There's plenty of greenery there for them to eat. So you're like, okay, that's cool. Why did you tell us all about shepherds? Don't worry, I will. We'll get to what that all means and how we can take courage from a song. These parallel exactly what David would have done when he was a shepherd. He would have took his sheep. He wouldn't have had 1,200, but he would have taken his sheep and guided them in season and season to different places, even if it was dangerous. Out of his experiences, when David became king, he recalled his experiences back as an encouragement to him later when he was a king. When he was a king, if you've ever read any stories of David, he had so much to worry about. His kids were misbehaving. Can we get an amen? Like we got kids misbehaving. He's got people trying to overthrow him. He's got so much going on in his life. And then he recalls back to his days as a shepherd boy with Psalm 23. One of the probably most famous psalms there is because, we all take courage from it. But I feel like if we understand the nature of the shepherd-sheep relationship, it can unpack even more encouragement than there ever was before. A lot of us can probably quote this if you've been in church for a long time. I know when I've quoted this, it's sometimes in KJV because that's the way my grandpa, every time we would get in the car, he would quote two passages, either Psalm 23 or Psalm 121. Psalm 23, it just was in my mind, and for a long time, I got some encouragement, but I didn't get the encouragement like I did when I researched what a shepherd does. So in the midst of the chaos of David's life, he wrote Psalm 23. How many of you can relate to chaos? And like I said, your kid's misbehaving, everybody's trying to bring you down, your job's going bad. Can you relate to that? I mean, maybe you come in, somebody, yeah, you can relate to that. What I want you to do as a little bit of an application today, I want you to take your program or notebook, all right, or something to write on. Get a pen, click it, all right? I'm a teacher, so I want you to do this. This is not an option. Do it now, all right? Do it, because it's going to come back on the end, and I'm going to test you on it. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to test you on it, but I want you to get a pen, and I want you to write down what worries you. What worries you? If you're anything like me, it could easily be, I'll write one thing and be like, oh, wait, that's connected to that thing. Oh, wait, that's connected. And you end up making a huge list. Try not to do that. All right? Write down a handful of what worries you. Because we're going to come back to that at the end and see if we can find encouragement there. All right? So write them down. I'll give you a minute to write them down. Write them down. Some of you are not writing, so I guess you're writing in your head. So that there will be a test at the end. All right? On your way out the door, you'll give it to me and we'll find out who wrote it down. So let's look now at Psalm 23. If you have your Bibles or you have the YouVersion app, pull up Psalm 23, and we're going to read it along with this. And as I read this, I want you to get refreshed from this. And we're going to unpack how much more refreshing it is when we know the context of the sheep and shepherd relationship. But I want to read this in such a way that it just brings a refreshment because, we're in the middle of summer. It's hot. Kids are home from school. They're acting crazy. You about to smack them. I know because I have to deal with them on a daily basis, not in the summer. So I know what your kids are like. I know what chaos may be happening at work. That's if I had to write down one thing that was worrying me, it would be my job. My first year of teaching, there was layoffs in my county. And because I was the last hired, I got let go. So in the back of my mind, I got another job in a different school in the county. In the back of my mind, that's always there. So what happens if I lose my job? Because then I can't provide for my family now with a newborn. Like it's even more a worry. Like if I don't have a job, I can't provide for my wife, my kids. I can't, the house is going to fall apart. Like it just leads to one thing after the other, these worries. So let's look at Psalm 23 and see if we can find refreshment from this. Let's Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The main takeaway I want you to write down, I'm going to repeat it a lot because in your worry, when you start getting chaotic and worried and stressed in your life, the best thing to do is recall the promises of God. So here's one thing I want you to write down, the main takeaway, the main idea here, I'm going to say it a lot. Sheep who have a good shepherd have no reason to worry. Sheep who have a good shepherd have no reason to worry. Let's look at back at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to pause right there. The Lord is my shepherd. So if he is my shepherd, I must be his sheep. We talked about in the solos that to be a part of God's kingdom, to be saved, you've got to have accepted the grace by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you're a sheep. So if you take courage, if you're not one of his sheep, you can't take courage in this. But if you are saved by the grace of God, you can take courage in this because you're one of his sheep. Like David was honored. David, as a shepherd, was honored to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." He understood his place as a sheep. That shows like he wouldn't have known exactly what it would have taken to be a shepherd and what a sheep needs from the shepherd. He was glad. He didn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. He was possessive. He said he's mine. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm his sheep. I'm going to follow him. I'm under the care of everything under him. Just like these shepherds in the Georgia, the picture there. Let's look again at the second part of verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We'll stop there. I shall not want. Other translations, a better translation, it's not that we don't desire things, it's that we won't lack anything we need. Like, as a shepherd, he provides for the needs of his sheep. In that picture, in those pictures, they had to go from those summer to the winter, and in the middle, it was dangerous, right? If they didn't go on that journey, they could have died. What they needed was greener pastures. Along the way, there's a tough journey. God knows what you need more than what you know what you need. So it may come at this trial, this testing, it may come at chaotic times, but God is there with you because he's a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Sheep who have a good shepherd have no reason to worry. I'm going to keep saying it because I know myself. What you wrote down, sometimes you'll worry when you hear a message about worry or you read scripture about worry. You start worrying about worrying. It's like, I'm worried about how much I'm worrying. That's ridiculous because sheep who have a good shepherd have no reason to worry. Let's look now at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That is so powerful there. What do sheep need? They need green pastures and still waters. They need water. They need nourishment. They need food. If For the longest time, when I would read this, I would see the green pastures and I would think of a golf course. Just a lot of green. Probably don't go in the fall, but in the spring and summertime, the golf course just has so much beautiful greenery. The green pasture, I just picture that. Or maybe just a bunch of beautiful, long, thick grass that somebody, you know, does a really good job with sod. They take care of it very well. They water it. I just picture that. But that's not necessarily the case in David's perspective. All right, I want to show you this picture of the Georgia shepherds here. So in this picture, I want you to notice a couple things. This in the picture was described in the caption as one of the most dangerous climbs in all the world. You can see how steep it is. Imagine if you were a sheep, right? Right here, there is still water. This still water is not like a rushing river. These are pretty still waters that they can drink from so it doesn't take them away. That's what the still water is what you need. And notice, they're walking. God knows what you need as you're going through your journey. He knows that you need these green pastures, these still waters. This other picture also shows how steep this mountain is for these sheep, how tough it is. Along the way, do you see the green on the sides of the hills? That's the green pastures. Sometimes your green pastures are going to be in valleys, on the side of the mountains, on the journey to get to where it's something better. God provides what you need for you every day. Too often we look at today's, what we have for today, and start worrying about how it's going to account for tomorrow. But the good shepherd knows what the sheep need daily. So the shepherd takes care of them today and knows that it's going to lead to betterness the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. The shepherd is constantly in the know of what his sheep need. Just like God. God always knows what you need before you even ask. He knows that you, those needs that you worry about, that you wrote down, job, money, bills, kids. He knows that you need those. He knows that you worry about those. Go to him as the good shepherd for those needs. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There back, he restores my soul. Along the way of the journey with the shepherd to the sheep, he is constantly looking to refresh his sheep. Because if they stop, they are vulnerable to prey and just lack of food and water. So he is constantly watching over his sheep, making sure that any of them that are broken, that he restores them. Or if one's falling behind, he picks them up and takes them. My goodness, how much is that with God with us? He restores our soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So the good shepherd is not only with his sheep, he's leading. He has been there where the sheep are going. He is with you in this journey, just like a good shepherd is with his sheep during the journey. He leads you down the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake, for his glory. We talked about that in the solas the first week, Sola Deo Gloria, that it's all for the glory of God. We are following God where he goes in the righteousness, as he leads in righteousness, for his name's sake. So a picture of that is that the shepherd is taking care of his sheep for his reputation, so that these sheep are good sheep when they get to sell them. Verse 4. This is probably one of those, you may have heard it in a movie, like a secular movie. I've heard it a couple times. I've heard it in music. But really, it only gives us encouragement for those that are of the faith, who are his sheep. Let's read it, and let's just get encouraged by verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am walking in that. So this is, just picture this, in this mountains around us, We're on the journey with Jesus where we're following him. He's leading us. But we're in a valley of the shadow of death. Death is there. The shadow of death. Like I read something that said that shadows, nobody's really afraid of a shadow. That's why he can walk through this valley, because there's a shadow of death. Death's not there. He's walking through this valley because he knows that the shepherd has his best interest in mind. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the chaos, the trials of life, they're going to come. He continues, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He doesn't fear any evil. The sheep don't fear evil because the shepherd is present with them, caring for their needs. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So I debated on getting an example. Somebody to come up here and I'll wring their neck. If you fall asleep, I'm going to, now that you know I have this, you've been warned. This is the shepherd's staff here. Okay, you've seen them probably in nativity scenes, right? The common thing is to hold it here and just look at the baby Jesus. Like, this is shepherd's staff here. So up here is this hook. This hook is for correction. Like, it hurts. It probably hurts the sheep. If you asked it, it would say, bah. It hurts. Don't do it again. If I got somebody up here and did that, it probably hurt. But it's for your own good. It's for the sheep's betterment, right? How many times do you read the Word of God and it corrects you? And it hurts. We talked about it at the beginning of the year. This whole year is all about, listen, God is speaking. How many times have you read in the Word, in your Connect group, or just in your daily walk with God that, ouch, ouch, that hurts. But it's for your own good, that correction. Because like I said, if a sheep gets out of line, they're following, the blind leading the blind. The shepherd's got to pull it back in line. It hurts, but it's for their good. That conviction that the Holy Spirit brings through his word, it hurts. Ouch. But it's for your good. Right? If a sheep is following the blind leading the blind, how many times do we follow things of culture? Do we follow what other people say about us? Do we follow the next best thing? Maybe God's trying to get you back in line today. Maybe he's trying to put you back on the right path. Maybe you're on your back and he wants to get you back on your feet. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now this accidentally has a little bit of a sharp end here. A lot of shepherds, crooks, and the pictures on the website of this Georgia shepherds, one of them had a hook. It was a little sharp hook. It wasn't a hook like this for correction. It was a hook to hurt somebody. God protects you from evil. Those predators that come, whatever it may be, Satan's trying to get you down, trying to pull you away. There's a protection from evil on the other end. He protects you. He's got your back. He protects you. Man, that's how you take comfort from his rod and his staff. Man, maybe you've read this before and you knew the shepherd had a hook and you're like, yeah, that's fine and whatever. There's comfort here. If you're convicted about what you're doing wrong and about your sin, that's good. God wants to do something through you that maybe you don't even know. God's trying to take you to better pastures, better places. And he's got your back. He's protecting you. Let's keep looking at the rest of the song. Anybody, we can auction this off later to take home and use this as correction for your kids if you need to. All right, so that's there. I'm just kidding. Hopefully you understand that. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see verse 8? Do you picture verse 8? Let me read it again slowly. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is not a big enough table. Got a table. All my enemies are sitting there. You would be scared. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. He's not scared. He's got peace in the midst of his enemies. In this chaos that his kingdom, David, his kingdom has come to, he can sit there and imagine that he's at a table and his enemies are there and he's at peace. Wow. Do we have that peace in our life? Do you feel the peace of God in your life like that? Could you say that to God? You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Can you feel, do you feel that kind of peace? Because if you're not, maybe you're not looking to the shepherd good enough. The sheep don't worry about the predators around them because they know the shepherd's got them. They protect them. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this picture here of the shepherd, notice these sheep are going in that direction. There's a ton of them. Again, 1,200. I'm a math teacher. I can't do numbers. A lot of them there. Notice the shepherd, it's got their back. Man, how comforting should that be to us that as I walk, God's the good shepherd. He not only leads us, he's got our back. Like these shepherds, they have to have about 4 or 5 of them throughout to get this. But with God, he's got our front and our back. He's leading us, and his mercy, his goodness, his love is following behind us. He's got our back. Man, we sang Reckless Love. That's what kind of love he comes behind us and empowers us, that he's got our back. Man, that's so encouraging. And even David himself, the surely, that's a absolute, like, I know without a doubt the goodness and mercy of God is going to follow me all the days of my life. Can you say that about your life? Do you feel God's presence in your life, even when the chaos is happening? I want you to now go back to what I told you, your homework, the write down what you wrote down, your worries. Look at them, consider them. If you didn't write them down, think about your worries. What worries you? Are you looking to the good shepherd to provide those needs? Or are you trying to do it yourself? Are you like a sheep that's got out of line? You just, hey, I know better. Bye, I know better. You don't see the sheep in this picture. You don't see the sheep telling David, hey, David, I know better than you. Let's not go down this valley. Let's not go through these tough times. It's not worth it. I think David would have probably been like, whoa, the sheep's talking to me. But you don't see that. The sheep trust the shepherd. They follow him. They don't go, hey, you don't know better for me. You don't know what's good for me. They follow. Do you feel like a sheep on its back? That you tried to find your own way and then you flipped over and now you can't get off the back. And you just are in this pit and you can't get up. God provides comfort, protection. Because sheep who have a good shepherd have no reason to worry. All those things that you wrote down, maybe if you only wrote down one, he can handle those things. He's with you during those things. Give those worries, those things that cause you stress, give them over to him. Surrender them to him. Jesus said it like this. Jesus gives us even more comfort in John 10. So if you would turn to John 10 or go there in your YouVersion app, John 10, starting at verse 11. Again, I want to read this in such a way that, like, like water on a hot day, that this brings you refreshment because you know the context of that shepherd. Jesus talking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Some of us feel like we're under a hired hand. That God's like a hired hand. He doesn't really care about me, so I got to worry about all the stuff that I need to worry about. I've got to take on the load. Some of us feel that way. And some of us treat God that way when we worry about our needs. When we worry about all the stuff that's bothering us. When we worry, we treat God as if he's a hired hand that doesn't care about you. It doesn't know what your needs are. He continues, I am the good shepherd. He says it twice within these four verses. He wants to, hey, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Jesus wants these people to know that he's the good shepherd. He's got it. He's got you. He's got your front. He's got your back. He protects you. He knows what you need. And so many times we worry and we forget. That's why he repeats it. Because we need it over and over and over and over again. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. That's why they follow them. They know the shepherd's voice. So if you're God's sheep, are you listening to his voice? Or are you listening to what everybody else says? You're following another blind sheep. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Catch this. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Whoo! God's a good shepherd. Right? He's such a good shepherd. Why? Because he lays down his life for his sheep. He cares about his sheep. Everything that he does is to care for his sheep so that the sheep will glorify him. Man, I hope that this encourages you. Maybe you've read Psalm 23 a ton of times. You're just like, hey, that's my favorite psalm. But you've never unpacked the sheep-shepherd relationship. And it's like, wow. Or maybe you've never heard it and you're like, I'm worried about a lot. You don't know what I'm going through. You're right, I don't. God does. God's with you. He's overseeing you. He's leading you. He's got your back. He knows exactly what you need and exactly what you're going through. Why not surrender your worry and needs over to him? Are you trying to be like the sheep who goes out on his own? Are you trying to go away from the care of the shepherd? And again, do you feel that? Do you feel like you're a sheep on his back? Maybe it's time to get real with God. Just, God, I'm a sheep on my back. I've tried to do this myself. I've tried to follow you, but I'm worried about everything. So much so that it's making me sick. God, I just need some comfort in you today. We have a good shepherd. I repeat it one more time. Sheep who have a good shepherd have no reason to worry. You're a sheep under the care of a good shepherd. You don't need to worry. He's got you. He's going to take care of you. It may seem like you're going through a valley right now, but he's there with you. And he knows that the other side is for your good. Trust him. Trust him today. Find provision. Find comfort. Find peace today. I want to pray for us today as we leave from here that we're not going to worry, that we're trusting God's care, that as the good shepherd, we're going to follow him. We're going to know what he says. We're going to find comfort in him. We're going to be okay with correction. It hurts, but it's for my good. He's got my back. He's going to protect me. I'm going to feel the care of the good shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we look at this psalm and find so much comfort, knowing the story and the truth of what a shepherd does for his sheep makes this psalm resonate so well. God, I pray for anyone in here that is overcome by worry. They're stressed out. One worry leads to another worry. And they lose sight of your care. They go off on their own path, trying to make their needs on their own. God, I pray that we will find rest in you today. Because the beauty of this psalm is like a green pasture. It's like a still water for our soul. That when we worry, we can go to it and be reminded, just like David was reminded, that you're the good shepherd. We have no need to worry if we're trusting and putting our faith in you. I pray that as we go from here today, that we are glorifying you in everything that we say and do. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.